This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information.
What's going on? Happy Wednesday, or hump day as we like to call it.
What's up, everyone?
What's happening, y'all? Brad was just telling us a story about his new location.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Isn't that awesome? Thanks.
Yeah, it's awesome. They built it out for us, and we're going to have a showroom, which we didn't really have before. We can have meetings, you know, like bringing maybe designers or somebody, because there was enough space to do that, you know. And so it's cool. We'll feature some different doors, I guess, in our showroom that will, you know, I don't know if you guys ever use the glass knobs that you use UV glue to glue them on, but they are stunning. And so we'll probably do a door with something like that, you know. So we have some offices for expansion. We have a sales guy that we brought on about 4 or 5 months ago, and he's doing very well. He's accurate on everything.
Wow.
Yeah. And he can think of, I mean, we've really done a good job getting him trained up, and he's smart. So he's very personable. So we're happy about that. And my nephew came down to help. He used to work for me for 2 years. He came down to help, and it was kind of like, we were not sure if we want really Alex to be with us. Well, as it turns out, the guy's great. He can conceptualize things. So what's really cool is he's going back to Kansas City, where he is, and he's going to be doing all of our purchasing now, ordering of the jobs, because we are paperless. So he can have all the orders in front of him, and then he could put it in Smart Builder and execute it. And he caught on to that very quickly. So we're very happy with that change.
Nice. Wow, that sounds great, man.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Things are happening. That's right.
And then you were saying something about a new machine, maybe?
A new what?
A new machine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're looking into getting an edgy machine.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
So that's a great thing to have. I mean, if you've got the space for it. So many times I've thought, man, I wish I had one of those things, but there's just no way. I mean, I've got no place to put one.
Well, you know, you always have maybe one piece of glass that's either slightly too tight, or it might have an edge that's a little rough, maybe a few chips on it, and you can pass it through the edger and fix it up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Awesome.
So,
yeah, and if you do any mirrors and stuff, I mean, that just like saves you so much trouble to be able to like just cut a mirror and slap it in there and put a polish on it.
Yep.
Just like the pros do.
Yep. So, you know, we'll be going to the glass show and we'll be looking at what our options are there.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. That's a great place to do it, man.
Yep.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I'm going to have to get my ducks in a row so I can leave.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Right. When you're a one-man deal, man, it's like you leave and it's like
it's hard.
Your operation leaves.
Exactly.
Yep.
But I got my wife. She can sling it, you know. She's a real slinger, so. She'll just talk the whole time. Going.
So recock all your showers?
Still. Yeah, recock. Hey, look, there's Brandon. Look at that, son of a gun.
Now, Chris, do you have a specific topic in mind for tonight?
I totally don't. I'm flying blind.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask if anybody has been using like the patch hardware, hydraulic hinges with the patch hardware that's like the top pivot patch hinge. And FHC in particular, we just did 8 doors in a restaurant and I liked it real well. And we bought their patch lock because 4 of the doors are for a wine room. Or actually, it's a cabinet, so they want to lock the doors. You don't go inside. You just reach in and grab your wine bottles, okay? But they want all those doors locking. We used their patch locks. Man, that was a bear to get those things to work. Which one? So I just wanted any input. Like, Tim, have you used that product?
I just did one.
Okay.
With the hydraulic hinge on the bottom.
Yep.
And the patch hinge on the top. And then I used Sierra Lawrence. So I used their lock that you just push the button in and it just throws the bolt over. And it came out beautiful.
What kind of lock is it?
It's a Sierra Lawrence. It's I'd have to look up the.
Okay.
It's like 3x3.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think that's probably a better direction than what we did. Ours had the deadbolt that goes down in the bottom.
No, we didn't do that.
Yeah.
And this I put in the center of the handle. And then we ended up putting the key lock on the fixed panel. So you just turn the key and it pops out and the bolt comes out and go in.
Okay. We didn't have a fixed panel to work off of.
Okay. But you can do the same thing. You can put a strike plate on the door for it too. I mean, on the wall.
Yeah, we had French doors in the middle with 2 side ones. So it was like 4 doors in a row.
Yeah.
So all pieces of glass pivot open.
Yeah.
So.
What was the problem with the key lock going into the ground? Was it not lining up?
No, it's actually the deadbolt screws into the patch lock body. Yeah. And so does the thumb latch on the other side. Mm-hmm. And it was really tricky. It's like you turn it to a certain point to where, and you just keep testing it to see with the key in there. To see if it'll actuate the latch, the throw that goes down into the hole. And I've got the deadbolts to work, the keyed part, but I could never get the thumb latch to work. And they can't explain to you how to do it or anything. They just say you screw them at the same time and you just have to, you know, trial and error till it works. It's like, it's crazy, you know.
Monkey with it, huh?
Yeah. So I don't like that situation. I'm wondering if Sierra Lawrence is different and easier.
Does the cylinder and the key lock, I mean, the thumb turn have the same dogs on them?
Yes. Okay. Like the way it works on the backside, yes.
Yeah, they have the same.
It looks like the same kind of, it's like this little funky looking cam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it has to hit the mechanism that throws the latch bolt down.
Never had that problem. Okay. I mean, I've used them on others, you know, applications, but
mm-hmm. So you're using the FHC product?
That was the FHC product, yeah. Now, no problems with the hydraulic hinge and the patch pivot on the top. That worked beautifully, no problem. Fabricator, on the other hand, didn't quite get the notches right, but I dealt with that.
So your hydraulic, did you have to drill a hole for it, or was it just sat on the floor?
No, they sit on the floor. They have a base plate that screws down, and the base plate has adjustments.
Yeah, well, they work great.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was actually not bad once you get everything set up. it's nice how it pops into the base mm-hmm. plate, because then you can actually, one person can almost put the door in by themselves. I wouldn't recommend it, but one of my guys was doing it by himself, and it was like, this is awesome. So
it's good to have a guy like that.
Yeah. Right.
So how many people here are doing those wine rooms? I know Brandon does a ton of them. I know that the Dobmans do a bunch of them. Oh yeah. Who else?
I've done a couple.
Yeah.
I've quoted a few that I haven't gotten as well, but I try to get more. I like them. I have fun doing them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not to like, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just a dry shower, really.
Right. Yeah. You're not in somebody's shower, you know, you don't have to worry about like leakage or anything like that.
I wouldn't say I do a ton of them, but I probably do about 2 or 3 a month.
That's quite a few, I'd say.
Yeah, that's good. That's about where we are right now, 2 or 3 a month.
Are you advertising it?
Not yet, but I'm going to, yes. We get, in fact, we do Home and Decor magazine and Home Mag also. And we're going to be doing the cover of Home Mag in October. So we're trying to figure out how, you know, what we're going to do there. And we also have a full page ad inside the magazine too. So maybe a full page ad, we can do a wine room.
Yeah, the month you get the cover, you should get your shower door and then you can do the wine on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
A steam unit with 3 times.
Uh-oh, you're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Am I there?
Yeah.
So I have a hell of mine too.
Yeah, you sounded like a Charlie Brown cartoon.
Hey, remember do you that? Guys, when you do those wine rooms and you butt glaze your glass.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to say, when you guys are doing those wine rooms, we've done a few of them, but when you butt glaze that glass together, are you caulking that in between? You know, the lights?
No.
I'm not.
No.
Yeah, we are. We seal them. If you can get to them, unless the racking's in and you can't get to them.
Yeah.
Does that just contain the cool air in there?
Basically? Just in the corner, and so it doesn't rattle.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Rattle resistant. Yeah,
I guess it depends on the design and if the climate control or not. But if they're real tall and you get that little space what's going to rattle, then yeah, I guess you would have to.
Mm-hmm. So what are the major pitfalls that, you know, someone should look out for if they're new to doing those wine rooms?
I mean, a lot of them are tall, at least the ones we do. They want 120 tall. And your manufacturer is not going to warranty glass over, you know, like certain size for bowing. And it can bow up to 1/4 inch at certain sizes. So that becomes an issue with your doors if they're bowed one way and the other door is bowed another way. So kind of that, put a transom over it if you can, but, and then climate control, there's just certain ways to seal them. They should have a little bit of a draft as well to equalize. And then, you know, a lot of people have hit me up for problems with moisture and the humidity and everything, but certain cooling units that the contractor, whoever's doing it, should know what to use, and they should spec out the right size for, depending if it's a 3-sided or whatever they're doing to insulate the walls and stuff, and they should have dehumidifiers built in, and if they don't, add a dehumidifier. So just little things like that, because we're the first ones to get a call back when it's not holding temperature or the glass is fogging up or all that stuff. So
yeah, just like everything else, right? Always go to the glass guy. Yeah, right? Well, there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, the plumbing's leaking, must be the glass guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like, like usually refrigeration units naturally are kind of dehumidifying But I don't know. It's like,
and then a lot of people think that you'll put the glass in, they'll turn it on, and they'll say, hey, it's not holding temperature, it's running a lot. Well, it's like a refrigerator. You got to put wine in it to mm-hmm. help keep it cool. Like the more wine you have in it, it's going to hold temperature a lot better. So, you got to try to get people to fill it up, and they just think that it should never run. So
that's a great point. Yeah, see, that's exactly what I was looking for. Because it's like, yeah, an empty refrigerator will run constantly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. I got questions, you got answers. What else? What else? Who else?
Find out where they're staying for the convention.
Say that again. Oh, were you just talking off?
My wife was in the background saying, where are you guys staying at the convention?
Oh, where are you guys staying at the convention?
New York, New York.
Oh, cool. You know, my dad was the project coordinator on that job. That was like the last job he ever did. He was like old. Well, not old, but you know, in his 70s.
So are you saying not to go there?
Pretty old for a... Yeah. No, go there.
What are you saying? What are you saying, Chris?
Yeah, it was the last thing he ever did, man. I don't know if I would go there. I think his ghost is haunting the place, man.
I didn't know how to interpret that.
I just, you know, someone brought it up, so I just couldn't resist saying it.
So what? Where did Tim say?
New York, New York.
New York, New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be at the Venetian.
Okay. Probably try to be at Harrah's, try to mooch off some of my father-in-law's comped rooms, maybe, hopefully.
There you go. And I think, Brad, I think the NGA got a group of rooms at different hotels. You can log on there.
Well, I think it's too late. I think they got all booked up.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was ready to pull the trigger. We just didn't get around to it because we're involved in a lot of things going on. And if you weren't on earlier, I moved the business to a new location. So,
oh, good for you.
Yeah, it was a busy 3 weeks for us here. So, or more. But anyway, yeah, I think everything's booked up right now pretty much. So we'll figure it out.
Cool.
Are you sure? I mean, I hope so. I mean, that would be a good sign if there's that many people going that they don't have any more rooms.
Well, I understand there's a lot going on, big concerts. And of course, there's always that at Vegas, I guess. So, but there's a lot going on. Things are booking up. So. But yeah. I do know my brother-in-law lives in Vegas, so we can stay at his place as a backup. So.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of rooms in Las Vegas. I'm Googling it right now. It says there are about 150,000 hotel rooms in Las Vegas.
Wow.
I just booked mine today, so that was.
Okay. At New York, New York.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to look at that up.
They got good restaurants.
Yeah, it's a cool hotel.
Yeah.
Looks kind of like the New York skyline. Got, you know, it's pretty cool. I'm staying at the Strat.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So the guys that haven't been here for a while, well, did we ask Justin? Is he going? Hey, Justin, are you going to the Glass Show? They're on mute, man.
Hate it when that happens.
Well, mute.
He's working on it. He's working
all
on
right.
it. You can do it.
Well, get ready. I'm going to ask Billy and Brandon next, so get ready.
Yeah.
I haven't booked my room yet, but I'll be there. We're either pricing at the Cosmo or Aria or Resort Las Vegas or something.
Cool.
All right. Billy, did you say you couldn't make it?
No, we'll be there.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You are.
We'll be there. Me and kind of my lead salesperson are going to both be there.
Good.
Could you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be there. I'm debating on taking my son actually too. So he's a little stud, 22, knows it all. He knows. he knows it all. I'm debating on taking him too. It'll be a little less calmer if I take, or it'll be more calm if I take him as opposed to just one of the guys.
All right.
It'll be more calm where? At the
It'll
shop?
Be more calm for our evening adventures if I take him.
Oh. All right. Hey, thanks.
It might be more cost effective for me to take him.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for posting that Facebook Live from the football game the other night. That was cool.
Oh, wasn't that cool, man? We got to meet Sierra too. That was awesome, man. That was great. Mm-hmm.
Too bad the outcome of the game didn't turn out well. You had it.
We had it. That's poor execution and poor coaching and not utilizing the tools in your toolbox.
And time management was terrible.
Yeah.
It had the game.
We were able to meet, I met Russell Wilson's brother, and my wife was able to meet Sierra right there. I got a couple of cool pictures of her, but believe it or not, I'm doing some work for one of the guys on the team tomorrow. So he bought a house here and doesn't have a shower enclosure. So we're getting just a little bit closer to their little organization. So it's pretty cool.
That's a good group.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd love that. Mm-hmm. Getting in with a professional team where the players could tell each other, you know, about their remarkables and what you do.
Yeah, the networking aspect of it.
Yeah, Brad, why don't you sponsor with the Falcons?
I don't know how to do that. I guess I could look into it and figure it out.
Sure you could.
There's probably somebody on this call right here that can tell you all about how to do it.
Put Christina on it.
Well, actually, I don't know if you guys knew it, but Christina tried out to be a Falcons cheerleader.
Did she?
Yep, she made it to the finals and didn't quite make it. So now she's on with the Hawks.
So basically they owe her. So there's her angle right there.
Yeah. But she used to in college, she was a cheerleader for the Hawks on the dance team. And now she's back with the Hawks on the farm team just to get back in shape, so to speak. And cool. And that might give her the exposure to get on with the Falcons the next go round. So
nice.
Well, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, Mike, you going back this year?
No, I can't. I got a niece getting married, so I can't make it. And I had a blast last year. I really wanted to go.
You should have told her to get married in Vegas.
Perfect. Yeah.
A twofer. Twofer, and you can write it off.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's right. It's a great place to get married. You get married by Elvis or something. You know?
There you go.
Be awesome.
There you go. How about Lana? Lana, you going? No, the phone may be on, but there's nothing happening.
Wait, she's there. I can see her. See her in the background.
I thought that was Tunes.
I know. It looks like Tunes.
He's been off for a while.
Yeah, what's up with that guy?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Steve, is that a Red Sox hat, that B?
It's not. It's a kid's baseball hat.
Looks like the same B, though.
It's for the Bullets.
All right.
Awesome.
I'm pretty sure Bob Duggan said he was going. And Ellie Bond. So I don't know if they're still there. Their phones are on, but.
I see their names.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, neither of them are unmuted.
Did anybody else go to that solar seal auction in Boston?
No, tell me about that.
Big glass manufacturing plant out in East Boston area, like 100,000 square foot facility. They got bought out and the parent company was liquidating that place. So they went to auction with all the equipment, cranes, machines. We, Bryce and Gary, the guys at our factory, went on the auction and was able to secure.
Hold on a minute. Let me see here. Okay. Well, sorry, I'm trying to mute him, but I muted you instead. Whoops. I forgot my microphone's on. Go ahead, Keith.
So they located, they had a, I believe it's a polishing machine, a Bavoni maybe?
Yeah,
it was a Bavoni.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a $160,000 machine. They had two years on it maybe. And they scooped it up for 15, 16 grand. They had, you have to fly up there and take it down here. But they've taken this machine apart 10 times. So we're adding it just to do post polish on all of our laminate stuff so it doesn't tie up the regular lines.
That's awesome. But
they have a lot of stuff there.
So you got it?
It's on its way.
We got it. It'll be here Friday. It's already on the road. They loaded it up yesterday and flew back today.
Well, that's my next purchase is a polishing machine. I didn't know about the auction. I probably wouldn't have been able to do anything about it anyway.
You don't, on your first one, you don't want to do that. This was something because we've taken, you'll see when you have the polishing machine. Once you've taken it apart maybe 10 or 12 times, then you're ready to do that because the machine is so necessary but can be so finicky. And your meat is going to be critical to the longevity of that machine. When we got our first one, Doug and I literally beat it into the ground, and it'll make your life miserable. The tempering won't be as good. Just, it's miserable. So you have to keep the maintenance up on it. Have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And whoever you buy from, make sure that you're available to get service. Mm-hmm. Some of these places, you have to submit a service ticket, and they're like, we have 6 hours. I think I said this before, 72 hours to process and get back to you. Well, 72 hours is a long time to even find out if they can help you. And so, you know, I'd make sure you get a red phone or somebody that you can personally talk to that'll be servicing your machine.
Yeah. Now, is Bavoni, is that a really, that's a good brand, right? They would have good service, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, it's a two-part. And depending on who you buy it from, because you have distributors and, you know, it depends who you buy it from. They have so many co-op partnerships. Okay. It really comes down to when you want to find out who your service people are and how available are they. I'd write that into the contract.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good advice.
No doubt.
Maintenance. Mm-hmm. A little bit more maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if the thing's not running, it's like it's just taking up space and making you mad.
Yeah, it pays a lot of real estate. It gets
the maintenance.
It's just like anything else. I mean, once you've got something like that, you really become dependent on it. You know, you really rely on it to keep everything moving, and it sucks when it's not, you know?
Sure.
So yeah, well, that's
great. That's not having one right now. So mm-hmm. I'd rather buy new, have it set up professionally. And then, you know, hopefully you're going to get great service for a long time before you start needing to do a lot of stuff all the time. So I hear it's very expensive to maintain equipment like this.
If you let it.
And it's more expensive if you don't maintain it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the guys who's a fabricator in town, he doesn't have a tempering oven, but he has beveling machine, edge machines, all kinds of stuff. He has a lot of stuff other than the tempering, and He was kind of complaining about the belts on his, I think it's a Bavoni or something like that. I'm not pronouncing that right, am I?
Yeah, you are.
Am I? Okay. Yeah. But he said like $17,000 to replace all those pads.
That's about right.
Wow.
Yeah. If you think that's expensive, try getting into a tempering furnace and you got to replace a ceramic roller. They're yeah, crazy.
10 grand a pop.
Yeah, what? 10 grand a pop, and there's like 35 of them in the heat chamber.
Mm-hmm. How long do they last?
10 weeks to get them.
Depends how you treat it is how long it lasts. It should last 20 years, but if you don't treat it right and there's a problem in the chamber, you could be in a big problem.
Well,
there's only one or two companies that make those ceramic rollers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like they're on a shelf where they could just ship one to you. That's the other problem.
Wow. Are there telltale signs that it's going bad where you have some time to get it ordered up, or is it something that just breaks and then you go, uh-oh?
Rollers don't just break, but those belts that he's talking about, those pads.
Yeah.
That again, if you're doing your maintenance and your operators know what to look for, they'll give you the telltale signs. You'll have time to do it. But if your operators aren't familiar with how the machine works and what it's supposed to do, then you're going to run into a problem. And if you're not filtering your water, that's a problem. Because then you get a lot of the sludge and the grind up on the glass and the pads just collect it and smear it into the glass. There's a lot to it. I mean, we had to buy a water treatment system just to keep the pH level proper. Wow. Because you can start staining glass, especially if you are polishing it, you're not ready to temper it. You know, it's at the end of the shift and you're ready to close down for the day. So that glass is sitting there to be tempered. If you don't have the glass grind off and if the pH isn't right, it'll be stained. So you'd have to make that piece over. It's a lot of stuff that we learned and they didn't teach you that at first.
Or when you shave down a piece of tempered glass, we've done 100 times, but your first couple times, one of them is going to break in there. It's just the way it is. And you want to talk about, you're going to have to take apart that whole machine because all that glass is just going to fall right down in there. And if it sticks in the pad, it's going to ruin everything.
Yeah, if you're doing a lot of production, it's better just to remake a piece of glass than to start shaving it down. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing a lot of glass, you just take the dimension of that. You can use it for the next job.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, just make it accordingly or adjust the adjacent panel to it. I think it was Brandon was talking about the wine closets where on the 120 inches that they allow a certain amount of bowing and flexing. One of the tricks, Brandon, is when you order it, if you're doing individual panels of glass, your fabricator doesn't know if it's multiple glass on the same job. So it might be helpful if you put all of the ones on that are going on the same plane on the one order. So when they see it, and this is panel 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, they know to orientate the doors the same. So if it bows, all of them bow in the same direction.
What company is doing that? I want to know what company all the way down to the loading oven on the tempering is going to read that. I want to know. I want to know who it is right now.
It's a D3 glass, right?
No one.
No, we don't. We don't. But what happened?
No way.
Years ago, Tom Whitaker.
We don't have to. We check it at the end.
When I was ordering it from Oldcastle in Perrysburg, they actually did that. You could tell them to orientate it the same way on the oven.
Well, that's awful nice of those guys.
Yeah.
Checking it. You can run it right back through and change the air and change. We do it all the time.
Yeah,
that's true. It's just all they can.
You flip it over and you run it through again. Is that what you're doing?
No, you run it on the same spot, but when it gets through the heat and goes in the quench, you change the pressure of the quench and it'll either cup it or concave, whatever the reverse is. You can change the blower. It's all in the blowers. Okay. Doug knows how to do it. I know enough to be dangerous. I don't know actually how to do it. You can actually untemper a piece of glass too if you're really good with the furnace, believe it or not.
You guys have said that before, and I thought that's pretty cool. I wouldn't trust it, but yeah, I get it.
Well, it's not much to trust. I mean, if you're untempering it, right?
Right.
It's right. Not much to trust. You're reheating it, releasing the pressure, and letting it cool by itself. So it's annealing.
Right. Right. Yeah,
it's kind of coming out.
Not many instances where you would really need to do that, but I know, like, when they're like slumping glass, you know, they're making like, bent glass. That's a time where it's like you can end up with a really expensive piece of glass, and it may be worthwhile to actually do that.
Yeah. Normally, for the time you're going to take, it's cheaper to make another piece of glass. You know, but those are things that can be done. And I'm sure people have done it when you had expensive glass or the last one of a lot. Let's say you were running rain glass and you had no more, or a low iron acid etch and you don't have any more in your inventory and you just got to make it work. There's things you can do.
Now, remember, we were talking about testing glass to see if it's tempered or not.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you did the sunglass routine in the sunlight, okay, would you see there the compression points would now be gone after you annealed it?
Yes.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, because when you're annealing, what you're doing is you're heating it up to release all the inner tension, and you're letting it cool by itself. So you're annealing, just like when they make float glass. So now the pressure points aren't there. That's exactly right.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right.
Fun with tempering.
That's right. Well, I think it's going to be a long time before we get, hopefully we get to that point. That's kind of the goal, but it's going to be a long time.
Now, I saw the NGA is putting on a seminar tomorrow online about bulletproof glass. Did anyone log on for that?
Yes.
And have you sold any and installed any yet?
No, I quoted Big Job quite a few years ago and then kind of was dabbling on a quote about 2 years ago, and I haven't gotten any. I'm real interested in learning how to do it. And there's more to it than just the glass part. It's like, okay, you might have to install it in the framework. And is the framework going to be like your standard storefront, which I don't have experience with that. It's supposed to be pretty easy, but I just don't have that experience level to be comfortable. So.
Okay. I didn't log on. I may do it in the morning, though. It's very interesting to me. But I believe that they're going to record it. You can play it back at your leisure also.
Who's running it?
NGA.
It's free.
I can't remember the two now. One of them is Armor Protectal, some guy that's, you know, really, really good at this. I saw it was a male and a female that were doing the online seminar.
And also it's called Bullet Resistant Glass.
Thank you, Tim. You're right.
If you sell bulletproof.
actually, the real term is ballistic, right? Yeah, and ballistic. Then there's levels of it, levels of ballistic.
Mm-hmm. You know, I worked on a prison and the administration building that faced the prison was all hollow metal frames and they were bullet resistant.
Resistant. Okay.
Yeah, along with the glass. It wasn't your normal hollow metal frames.
Sure.
Right through it. And then on the farm side, we're, you know, then it went back to normal stuff.
It's just have to aim for the metal, not the glass, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, bullets got a better chance of going through the frame. Yeah.
We've done several jobs with bullet resistant glass, and that conversation always comes up because typically, there were some of the city municipal courthouses and city buildings where they wanted to have bullet resistant. And when you have that discussion about the framing and the price involved in that, that comes up. They say, well, wait a second. How can we save money? Why do you need that framing? They just want the glass to be bullet resistant. And you try to have that, you know, you try to explain that the bullet can go through the metal. It can go through the speak hole. So they get it 90% right, you know?
Yeah.
But I document all that, you know? I can give you a bullet resistant glass, but this is a complete setup.
Yeah.
As long as you understand that. So
we used to do a lot of bullet resistant back in San Diego for banks, and they'd actually use Kevlar paneling behind the wood. So you get 4x8 sheets of Kevlar paneling that they'd cut down and put behind the wood. So everything was kind of safe.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. The banks we've done here, we've seen, they'll put steel in the wall around it, thick steel outside the window. But we just did a application for our local hospital in their NICU department. The funny thing is we put it in polycarbonate, bullet resistant, and they called me back about a month after we put it in and asked if I could cut 8 inches off the bottom of it because it was too cold of an experience for the parents when they walked in to walk up to pure glass. So they wanted me to cut 8 inches off the bottom of it and leave a gap at the bottom, which makes complete sense with the bullet resistant. And I just denied to come do it. Makes complete sense, right?
Are they going to pass the baby under that 8 inches?
Pay $15,000 for a piece of bullet resistant and then cut the bottom off so somebody can just reach underneath it. Makes complete sense.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and if somebody just shoots you in the foot, that's not so bad.
Yeah, right.
You can survive that. You ever do, I'm thinking about the loaded storefront, you know, where you load them with steel. I would think that would probably do a pretty good job at stopping a bullet.
Oh, the steel stiffeners?
Yeah.
What is that?
You have like, if you're doing like a curtain wall and there's for wind load, there is iron, like a C shape, usually iron, you know, that you load them with for strength. And bullet couldn't get through that.
You can do it with center glazed storefront system too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Fits right in there.
Yeah. We had a job once we did for the Navy. It was inside doors, and they wanted the steel stiffeners in it, and they didn't, you know, it was a waste of time. So we did it, and the guy kept saying, "Are they in there?" "Yeah, they're in there." You know, we never put them in.
Prove it.
Yes,
I got a magnet that tells me whether or not it's in there.
Well, back then they didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh.
There was no wind load.
Well, that'll be our little secret, Ken. Oh, no one will ever find out.
They have since torn it out.
It's just between us.
They have since torn it out and replaced nothing else. So.
Right on. What else? Who has a question? Got all the experts lined up right here.
I got a mirror question. I know it's not a shower door question, but we have a school, a local school, where they were trying to save money on a wall of mirrors, and they purchased acrylic mirror, and they secured it to the wall, and they trimmed it out like picture frames. The acrylics behind the picture frames. Now they want to put 1/4-inch clear mirror on there because it's the old, you know, a wavy look with the acrylic. Do you guys have any thoughts? Can you glue, you know, mirror mastic, a 1/4-inch clear on acrylic, or would you recommend just taking all that out of there?
I'd rip it down, honestly.
I'd take it out.
And mirror mastic's not going to hold it. If anything, it'd be Gunther, but mm-hmm. I would pull it down just to be safe.
I agree, but you might look into using polyurethane glue because I think that's compatible with mirror.
got to make sure the manufacturer approves it for that mirror, yeah, whatever mirror you're using for that backing.
Yeah, and then how secure is that acrylic to the wall, you know?
Right. And I mean, do you save enough money or time, whatever, doing that to offset whatever liability you might incur, you know, if like something goes wrong? Mirror, you know, the thing about mirror is like, it's gnarly. I mean, the very worst injuries I've ever seen glazers get were on mirrors.
That's exactly right.
I just had a senior lead at my shop cut his artery in his palm by throwing a little 30-by-30-inch piece of mirror in the trash can. Just slipped, came down, hit him in the palm, and cut his palmar artery right there. Just stupid little mistake on a little broken piece of mirror.
Yeah, there's something about it, just that, you know, man, annealed glass and some silver backing on it, you know, just makes it into a gnarly like weapon. So
how big a piece of mirror will you guys install?
Every year it gets smaller and smaller.
That's where we're at. Is it? I've started putting limitations on it because my older guys, they used to get off on going and putting in the biggest mirror they could, but my young guys don't want to touch it. They don't want to move a full 72-120.
It really depends on the application. And then I tell people all the time, the bigger the mirror, the more expensive it is to replace, the more distortion you're going to have on a big mirror than you will a smaller mirror. If it's full height, wall to wall and to the backsplash, we won't really do them if they're too big, just because of you're stuck in a small bathroom trying to do that. It's just too dangerous. It's really not worth it. So
that's been our big push this year, is we keep 48-120s in house all the time. We'll get 60-120s. We used to keep 72s all the time. But I just don't have guys that are comfortable getting them up on a splash when it's, you know, 6 foot tall. And I understand that. It makes sense. So we'll order custom size and upcharge like crazy for anything over 48 inches tall. Now we'll go long, but with height, we don't mess with it as much as we used to.
We used to stock 84-120s to fab at the shop and just flop them by hand all the time. And now we just do 72-100s or 72-120s because it seems best for the yield. So just not worth it.
Are mirrors as popular as they used to be?
We do a lot of them still.
Yeah, we still do a lot. So, I love them when you tie them with showers. I like doing them.
They got,
because it's just quick money. But when I don't like doing them by themselves at all.
They got really popular again during COVID for all the home gyms.
Oh yeah, yeah, that makes sense. So,
anybody getting into any of the tinted? We had a big run of gray mirror. We had a couple of designers in town that got really into gray mirror. Not as much antique, but we brought in sheet on sheet of gray for a while. And some of the homes here was kind of outlier.
We've done a little bit, but we mainly just do regular mirror and antique mirror.
And we've done a few full mantles, like, you know, 20-foot fireplaces, where we had to insert aluminum to carry the weight, you know, disperse weight, so we're not carrying weight down. And done some walls in some of the larger neighborhoods. It was pretty cool application, but pretty hairy, trying to get those things leveled, you know, so everything, all the gaps look good.
Mm-hmm. You find that the day that you're installing it is the windiest day of the year.
The day where they either pour the driveway or we're the 20th vehicle in line to get to the house. It's that day.
Yeah. Just always something. Mm-hmm. And they forgot their cups.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to really like to do mirrors. They're like fun to do when you're young. And, you know, they're challenging, you know, there's a lot of cool geometry and, you know, like cutting holes, like we'd be cutting holes on site with our drill, you know, and a diamond hole cutter and a little bit of spray weight, you know, it's awesome cutting, you know, cutouts for the outlets and stuff. And it's a lot of fun, you know, because it's, like I say, it was a challenge and it was like not everybody could do it. So if you're a good mirror guy, you could stay busy and make money. But yeah, and the older I get, it's like, I just don't want to bother with anything anymore.
That, definitely probably one of the worst sounds you can hear when you're in the shop when a mirror crashes on the ground.
Oh my God. Blood curdling. Oh
yeah. My God. I had these guys. I had these guys from Contractor's Wardrobe. Doesn't like to hire. They like to hire temp agency guys a lot to do their deliveries and stuff. And we ordered an 84-120 from them, and they bottom carried it into the shop. Like we have a skate, we have a car. Like, what are you guys doing? And then they go to proceed to set it down on this wall where the guy's tucked in the corner to set it down, and it slips and just shattered. And then he comes running into the shop, and he cut his forearm pretty good, but it was just like, what are you doing? So,
wow.
Yeah.
People take it for granted.
Yeah. Now, Contractor's Wardrobe, they have some good mirror.
They used to.
Not
it's just, they always have issues with their double back mirror now. It's just pitted. Called? Liberty has probably one of the best mirrors now. It's like an epoxy back mirror. You can use anything on it.
Really?
Yeah. So. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mirror's gone up a lot though.
Yeah.
Used to be able to get a case 2 years ago from Contractor's Wardrobe for like a couple grand, $2,100. Just spent $5,200 on a case today.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What are you selling it for per square foot installed, polished?
It just depends on what it is, but roughly around $25, $28 a square foot. You definitely make a lot of money on it, but. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. I mean, you've got to charge, enough to make money, because it's not that easy to make money on it,
Right.
Unless, I mean, if you've got just like flop up mirrors, if you're going, you're in a hotel, you're going through flopping up a bunch of,
Oh, yeah.
Standard size mirrors, you can make money like that. When you're doing custom mirrors, it's a lot of work, and just making them look good, and the walls are never flat.
No, you're double cutting everything, and
hotels aren't paying 25 a square foot either.
No.
Right, exactly.
No way.
Now, when you're doing mirrored walls like that, are you using bottom and top J-mold?
We use bottom.
Bottom only?
It just depends on the application. Some certain codes, like in gyms and stuff, require you to have a top fastener or a school or safety backing or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I would say minimum bottom is what we do most of the time, but we're doing a lot of wrapped mirrors. So we're coming in and, doing a full J-mold wrap around them. It's kind of been a thing, a lot of black trim stuff. Mm-hmm. Is pretty in. So we've been doing a lot of full wraps. We show them. So we do them, and then we put them on social media, and everybody sees it and wants that. They don't want the raw edge once they see that nice finished, metal mm-hmm. edge.
Billy, are you doing a lift?
Are you wrapping
in the hole? On those wrap mirrors, you doing a lift and set to get in the hole? So are you attaching your top J also? Or are you gluing it up, and that's just a visual thing on there, that you're sliding the J around?
It depends. I mean, we're obviously putting the verticals on site. We're not putting those on beforehand or anything, but it's right. If we're doing a top, a lot of times we'll slide the top down to get some, some grab there. If we're going to do it, we might as well. But we glue a lot of stuff. Even if we're doing J mold, we'll still use some glue, and we'll let the homeowner know. I'm big on some kind of adhesive attachment too. And they just kind of, we're pretty strict with what we offer. That's our big thing, is if you want a big wall of mirrors, we'll do it. But we're going to break it how we want to break it, that we feel comfortable getting in the space. It's safe for the guys. We're going to do safety backing when we want to, and that's going to be required. And we're going to glue it along with a physical attachment if I feel like it's necessary. And if they don't want to pay up for those things, that's fine. Then they can just go get somebody else to do it. Because mirror's not where we're making our money per se, but if I can tie it in with other things or have it in between appointments, then it's good. We can make good money on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, where are you getting your safety backing?
CRL, I think, is where we've gotten it for years. I don't think we've gone anywhere else.
And you're using regular mastic with that?
You got.
We use a Bolle product, so we use a green product. Our area, we get a lot of flack for things that are not green based or have bad smells when you put them in the home. So we try to use as much green product as possible. So Bolle has a green mirror mastic.
The thing with safety packing, if you put it on, you should make sure you cut holes in it. And the mastic goes on the mirror and not the safety backing, because the safety backing can peel over time if your mirror's not plumb. So it can just peel and come, the mirror can come down. So a good thing to do is you ruin a roll of safety backing, but you can take a hole saw bit and drill a whole bunch of holes all the way around your safety backing. So when you go to put it on, you already have holes everywhere on it.
Or you can cut
pieces of cardboard squares and lay it out on your mirror and then run the safety backing over it, and then take a razor blade and cut where the cardboard is and pull it out.
Those are two great ideas, man.
I've done it where I've taken cork buttons and stuck them on the back of the mirror and then rolled my safety backing. Same concept, though. It's a lot easier.
I found the easiest way is just to drill a 2-inch hole saw bit all the way, just lines all the way through. And then when you just roll it, you have
right through the roll.
Swiss cheese. So
you just have to roll it for that, you know? Yeah. Right?
Great idea.
Brilliant.
Awesome idea. Awesome.
Safety backing is expensive, but it works good too. If you have to blow up a piece of handrail that you have to dig out a channel, you just put safety backing on the front and back, leave grips on it, and then you just pop it and pull the whole sheet out.
Yep.
You say that like you've experienced it before or something.
Yeah, I've done it before.
So what was that application? A handrail, did you say?
Yeah, like a handrail. If it was, if someone put it in with like quickset concrete or something. And it's a chip piece of glass. You got to pull it out. The only way to get out is blow it up. So just put safety backing on the inside and outside of it, and you can make it a little bit longer so you can hold on to it. And then someone just pop it with a hammer, and you can just lift the whole piece out, and you have minimal pieces of tempered go anywhere.
Yeah.
Especially now, balcony.
Would you do that for, let's say, some dicey mirror removal, or just use duct tape maybe on something like that? So when you're pulling mirror off a wall or something, if you're not comfortable, you can something like that as a backup.
Yeah, that would be good. And I'd always start from the top down on a mirror removal if it was breaking. So I've seen people take bottom pieces out first, but that it on you. So always just keep cutting. It's a bad mirror. Just keep cutting from the top down and pulling pieces out. So
gravity.
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon.
Yeah.
So I live out here in Carmel Valley.
Yeah.
And about two weeks ago, I was at my pizza place getting a sandwich.
Yeah, Chance told me.
Yeah, Chance comes in. I go.
He sent me a picture of your truck. I forget where I was. I think I was hunting or something. I didn't really have this was on a Friday or something.
You know, who are you?
He's like, look at you.
You're supposed to be in Colorado.
Yeah, he moved out there 6 months ago, maybe.
Yeah. Nice area.
Yeah, we got to have lunch. I have to line up another one of those, man. He's a great guy. I love hanging out with him.
You get all the nice, cool weather out there.
Oh, yeah, man. Cool.
It hasn't been cool.
It's been a sweltering like 85 here lately, though. You would have hated it. You've been spending time up in Pine?
Happy Jack.
Happy Jack, yeah.
I've been up there a lot.
You like it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is, isn't it? It's a great area.
Get away from everybody.
That's right.
And time with the animals in the forest.
I like people, but not that much. So. Right on. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, man. It's good seeing you again.
Yeah, good seeing you guys.
I think we were talking about you last week or something.
Oh, great. Hopefully it wasn't bad.
Nah. Wouldn't say anything bad publicly about you.
Well, hope to see everyone at Glass Build, so should be fun.
Yeah, definitely, man. We'll get together.
So are we doing like the tailgate party? Is anybody doing that?
I'll be doing that. I don't know how many other people will be, but
I didn't do it.
I'll be gone because that's on Thursday, so I'll already leave on Wednesday.
I think I'm leaving Thursday morning or something, but I'll be there like Sunday night or Monday morning or something.
Yeah, Keith's going Sunday night. I'm getting there Monday.
It's a long 4-hour drive for me, so.
I'll still be there. I'm going to close the place down.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
You're going to be entertainment.
That's right. Try.
We fly out on Thursday too, but I mentioned to Bill, it might be fun to, you know, get together and do some Top Golf or something like that while we're there. We might try to hit that up. So if some guys want to join in on that, it could be a good time, kind of a chill hangout.
Tuesday night, it'd be good, Bill. If you want to set that up for Tuesday and you can join us on Monday, I put it out there for the guys that haven't heard. I've got a table at Giada's restaurant Monday night at 7 o'clock.
Where is that at?
It's right on the strip. It's in the Cromwell Hotel, second floor, across the street from the Bellagio.
Okay.
Are you buying, Bill?
Not buying. I've got the table.
I said you were buying.
Just hosting.
I'm out.
I did not say that. But I tell you, if you've never eaten there before, it's a treat. It's really good. Really good.
Yeah, we shall meet up there and hang out and, you know, make a plan for the next next event, you know, maybe Billy's event the next night, and then we'll come up with another idea for the next night.
There you go.
I'll try to grab at least a couple of bays for everybody, because I know we want to do it. We did it in Atlanta. It was a good time. It's just a kind of a chill place to be, good food and everything. So I'll try to grab a couple of bays, you know, if everybody wants to jump in, that'd be a good time.
Awesome. Better call soon, Bill. It fills up.
I know. I know.
Yep. All right. Thank you for putting that together.
Yeah.
Yep. Let us know.
Yeah, they have a 30-day window, so you got to be 30 days out.
Okay.
To be able to book for them. So.
All right. I think we're there, aren't we?
We're real close.
That was Tuesday night. Tuesday night for Top Golf.
Yeah.
What time?
All right,
guys.
See what time?
Next week.
I don't know yet. I got to figure out if they got availability first, and then we'll go from there.
We'll talk again next week.
Cool.
All right. See what we find out.
See
all right, man.
Good later.
See you guys.
Good night, guys.
Good night, guys.
Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.